Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au. Above the storms. Leslie and I were talking about this morning, we really love storms, especially the big ones. When we first went to Berkeley Vale, our house is pretty close to the lake, but it's got no lake views. 2016 storm, if the agent had come, they would have said we had limited views. After last weekend, we now have water views. And so we are really happy because the assets on our house have gone up. How about that? We can now get more money than we started with. That's really good. Thanks for having me again. It's just amazing that you're prepared to have somebody speak in the church like this. And somebody said they'd like me to speak a little bit about this trip I'm going to India. Can I just put things very clearly? I'm not an extraordinary person. I just really love being able to do some stuff. So can we just be honest and say I'm nothing extraordinary? I just love being able to do some stuff. I just love going on mission. The reason I like going on mission is because you actually are outside your comfort zone. Somebody said here this morning, don't know who it was, there's always a push. And when you go on a mission field, tell you, it's a push. The first time Liz and I went to Philippines, we ended up being guarded by a battalion of soldiers because we went to a place called Mindanao. And it was amazing because these soldiers looked after us and protected us. And when the rebels wanted to kidnap us, the soldiers were there to protect us. So we are really grateful for that. And this year I'm going to India, going up towards the Pakistan border. I told somebody the other day when I was getting some more backup shots, isn't that dangerous? I said, well, I've got no idea. Jesus has kind of said go, so it must be all right. That's all I know. I'm sorry. I can't say much more than that. I'll be there for about 2 weeks. During that 2 weeks, I'm going with a group called Impact Nations. There's so many good mission groups throughout the world. But it's just that I've connected with this guy called Steve Stewart through Impact Nations. And so I know Steve pretty well. I know what he does. I like it because he takes you in a place where you're out of your comfort zone. Simple as that. And so I'd like to speak a bit about that as we go through the message today. I don't want to spend all the time on it, except to say that I like it because when you go to these places, you find out that God doesn't care less about who people are. He just loves people. He's just so gracious because he couldn't care less whether they're Muslim or Hindu, whether they're nominal Christians, whether they're spiritualists, whether they're into witchcraft. He just loves people, and he just loves to see them come into the kingdom and to be significant. And so that really is the deal, because when you go there, you realise that your world is much smaller than you thought it was, and that God is much more inclusive than you thought he was. See, if you're taking notes, this is the first point, just in case you lose it. The first point is simply this. Religion is very exclusive. The gospel of the kingdom is inclusive. Religion is exclusive. I was in a religious cult when I was first converted. I called it a cult with great care, but it's true. We were going to save the whole Baptist Union. We were about to bring transformation and restoration to the Baptist Union because we had the truth. And we built this little fort around us because we were so religious we don't want any bad people coming in. See, a religious spirit excludes. And that's not the gospel. It never has been, never will be, the gospel. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have come into this rotten world to save. Simple as that. Whereas the gospel of the kingdom is very inclusive. See, when Jesus was on earth, I don't remember when he stood up in the temple in Luke 4 and his profound words, he spoke eloquently. And the Jews said, how is this possible? His father was just the carpenter down the road. It was this snobbishness, this class system, this whole business where they even said to him, look, he's just from Galilee. Nothing good comes out of Nazareth and Galilee. Nothing is good out of that place. Whereas Jesus was clear when he came with an inclusive gospel. And so you find Paul in Galatians 3:28. He makes it this inclusive. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither male nor female. There's neither bondservant or free man. All are one in Christ. He had to really tackle it in the Galatian church because they thought they were uppity compared with the others. No. He was saying, if you're in Christ, you're in Christ. That is inclusive. Everybody understands what I'm getting at. Because, see, Jesus, he did these things that were socially wrong. He was at this well, and there's a woman sitting there. And he spoke to her. He revealed stuff about her. She was a woman that has been excluded by the other women. She had to go and get water by herself because of her lifestyle. She was excluded. And Jesus spoke to her and said, give us some water. How can you, you know the story. He was inclusive. You take poor old Zacchaeus sitting up in the tree. He was the scourge of the town. Zacchaeus, if you don't know him, he was a tax collector. He was a short bloke. He had to get up in the tree to see Jesus go past. He wasn't strong, manly and everything else. And he called him and said, I want to have supper with you. Even before his feet had hit the ground pretty well, he had already started repenting, saying, I want to give back to everybody everything that I've taken from them and restore them. There was something about the kingdom of God coming into this man's life, something about the work of Jesus and his inclusiveness, that people were changed without even a word being spoken. It was this atmosphere of Christ that affected people. See, when you walk into the area where God is on the move, his spirit is active, there's nobody that's you and me. Everybody is together and he includes everybody. You take the time, they crossed over the lake and they came to this place where there was this madman. Everybody else had lost hope. They lost hope in this guy. They locked him up in chains. They couldn't restrain him. They put him out to feed the pigs. Jesus ministered to him in an inclusive way. I think the most scandalous thing about God is he actually rescues people that we hate. See, he actually comes to save people that we don't like. He actually comes to restore people that we really don't think should be restored. And that's the gospel. That's what you actually were called into. When Jesus came and put his mark on you, he called you to be a person who would be inclusive. Not just in church, but in the community and the world at large. I've been listening to some tapes. Leslie and I listened on YouTube to a guy called David Hogan. If you have never seen David Hogan, don't, because he's a wild man. If you want to keep good, sane Christianity, don't watch him. If you want to be normal, don't watch David Hogan. His name is Hogan under YouTube. He was talking about a guy that he wanted to kill. Now, he's a missionary, been a missionary for quite a few years, and he just wanted to kill this guy. This guy was so evil that he was actually finding pastors. He would kill them, he would strangle them, he would behead them, he would chop off the limbs of their children. You take the atrocity, you just expand it. This guy was evil. He was the lord of the gangs. He had all the politicians in his pocket, and David Hogan's comment was, "I just want to kill him, Lord. He's a disgrace." And this guy was in his house. This, not David Hogan, this gangster guy was in his house by himself. He didn't need guards to guard him. He was so strong he didn't need a guard to guard him. And he heard this voice speak to him. This is our inclusive God. He spoke to him and he said, "I want you to go and see Pastor such and such." Now, the funny thing about it was they'd hidden all the pastors and kept all the pastors' address confidential so this guy couldn't find them and kill them. And God spoke to this man, this gangster, and he said, "I want you to go and see this pastor, and this is where he lives. This is his address." He said, "I want you to go and see him. He's going to pray, and he's going to pray that the land will be restored. Go and see him." See, God is inclusive, Warwick. He said, "Who am I going to say sent me?" He said, "Tell him I am sent you." If you're not too sure, I am. He is, I am. And there was a knock on the door. This pastor opened the door. And he was this gangster guy with about 25, 30 armed guards. And he thought, "I'm dead. I'm dead." And this gangster guy said to him simply, I've actually booked the town square. I've got all the politicians and all my armies coming to hear you. You are going to pray and our land is going to be healed." He said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "That's what he told me." He said, "Who told you?" He said, "I am sent me. And he told me to come and to get you to pray for the land." You serve an inclusive God. And this guy shaking stood up to pray that day. Had all these armed guards around him and he was shaking and he stood up to pray. And he opened his mouth. Two words came out, and the Spirit of God, the Spirit of I Am, came and demolished every person that was standing. Everybody in the place was on the ground before the living God. No one can stand in the presence of I Am. See, our God is inclusive. He doesn't excuse sin, but he's inclusive. He doesn't tolerate evil, but he's inclusive. He has come to save people out of evil, not to tolerate it. And there's a difference. If you're taking notes, the second point is that the kingdom of God is to do with, the gospel of the kingdom is to do with restoration. Diane's already spoken about that this morning. I thought she was going to preach my message. I was about to tell her to stop. It's to do with restoration. When Jesus came, he didn't come just to give you a place, a reserved ticket in heaven. He did that. Yeah, that's true. He came to give you a ticket that says, "Yes, I've got a place in the presence of King Jesus and his Father." But he came to transform you and to renew you. I'd like you just to go to a couple of scriptures with me. We better make it legal and read from scriptures. So Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. I thought this was a scripture that Diane was going to read out. Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me." That's from verse 1. I'm reading from the NIV. "Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." See, when God speaks, it is good news. It's good news because he tells us that the Father loves us. That's good news. He tells us that we can have identity and purpose. That's good news. But if we go on and says this, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim freedom from the captives and release from darkness the prisoner." Do you realize that when Jesus came, he actually went into the darkness to bring the prisoners out. See, Jesus actually ran into the darkness to rescue people. I guess that's one of the things about going into a mission field. I hate the expression for no other reason. It sounds exclusive. I'm sorry. I don't want to use that. But when you go into that environment, you are surrounded by Hindus or Muslims, whatever it may be, there's only one thing that's going to rescue you in that place, and that's the Spirit of God. And you know he's going to do it. I remember there was a meeting we were in India. And the chief of the town invited us to go and speak at his house. And so the whole team went there. They had the local church people come to actually do worship. That's the night I went deaf, because in India when they play worship music, they actually ramp it up about another 50% to which you guys play it. And because we were the guests, they allowed us to sit in the front row, which was about that far away from the speaker. And it took me, I think, 3 days to hear again. But people came and were standing on the walls, on the parapets around about this man's castle. And when they gave an invitation for people who wanted to accept Jesus, I don't think there was one hand that wasn't up. There must have been 200 to 400 people, I've got no idea, but everybody said yes to Jesus. Why? Because they recognised that this man called Jesus, who you and I know is the Son of the living God, came to restore lives, to take people out of darkness into light, to bring people that have been captive in sin or whatever it may be into newness. If we read on a bit further, it says to proclaim the Lord's favour, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Do you know that when the Lord saved you, he put on you a crown, a beautiful crown? I don't know what your backgrounds are. I don't know all of you. I know some of you, but not all of you. But I know this, that the power of the kingdom of God in you is enough to take you from brokenness into wholeness, to bestow on you from ashes into beauty. I'm fortunate enough to be part of the Rural Fire Service. They still have old people in the Rural Fire Service. You go out there and you're involved with fires and there's ash everywhere. It's just filthy. It gets filthy, doesn't it, standing in the ash? You know what it's like. And the Lord says you can have this filthy ash in your life, but God can take it and resurrect it and make it beautiful. I don't know what ashes are in your life today. I don't know what's been going on in your life over the years. But I do know this. The scripture is true, that he can turn that ash into something that is beautiful in his sight. And that's a promise. I like the next part. You've got a favourite verse, I've got lots of them, and this is another one. Instead of mourning, a garment of praise, instead of a spirit of despair. How many people do you rub shoulders with that have a spirit of despair upon them? Anybody at all, or is that only me occasionally? Yeah. See, Jesus has come to lift people out of that and give them a spirit of praise, of thanksgiving. They will be called. This is you. Hey, you're mentioned here, by the way. Your name is here in the book. Because it says here in verse 3, the end of verse 3, you will be called an oak of righteousness. In the storm the other day, some trees blew over very quickly. I don't know why we ever planted the rotten things. And some trees, they swayed, but they didn't fall over. And there's that sense where God says, you are planted as an oak tree of righteousness. Sounds good, except now we know that they are the same words that Jesus used in Luke chapter 4. He actually said, that was fulfilled when I came. When I came, that was enacted. Prove it. Luke chapter 4. I'm glad you asked me the question. Prove it in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, where the Lord says this, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He quoted the exact same words. He was come. He has come to transform and to make new. I was in India. It was the end of the day. I think we prayed for maybe 100, 150 people. When you pray for that many people, you've got a chance to see a lot of people healed. And I was exhausted. I suppose everybody was exhausted. You're in hot weather and all that stuff, and you're eating rice and more rice. Sorry. Rice and more rice. Sorry about that. Rice and more rice. And this woman came up to me. She was only a young woman. She would have been 60, 65. She was quite young. That was for my benefit, not yours. And this woman stood in front of me. She was dressed, Indian woman. She had a hard life. You could just tell by looking at her. And she stood in front of me, and all she could do was weep. What do you do at the end of the day when you're stinking tired and somebody stands in front of you and just weeps? What do? Give her a cuddle. I like your spirit. And I asked the translator to come over, and the translator, I said, look, would you mind telling me what's going on? I can't understand a word. What's happening? Another lady from the coast was with me. I said, Sue, come over here. We want to pray for this lady. What's happening? Water. The translator said, she's a widow. Her son's just died. Her husband's dead. She's all alone. She's one of these, isn't she? Breaks me up. Every time I tell this story, I stop telling this story. The rotten thing. All she's got to do is to beg or to become a prostitute. That's all she can do to survive. Either that or curl up and die. See, the gospel is about transforming ashes into beauty. I mentioned to the guy over there who's the apostle, he only heads up a small church of 500,000 people. And he came over just like exactly you said. He took her in his arms. He hugged her. And he said, Mother, you've got a home. That's the gospel that transforms and makes ashes into beauty. I've got no idea what happened to that lady. I haven't got a clue. But I know this. She met Jesus that day. And she met the Jesus that transforms people's lives. And so if we turn over to Luke chapter 7, I know you're following every word here on the Bible. I know you're following me faithfully. Luke chapter 7, verse 20. Men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who was to come or should we expect somebody else? Jesus identified that he was the one by this. At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, evil spirits, gave sight to many who are blind. He replied to the message, said, go back and say this to John. Blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is preached to the poor. That's the gospel that transforms. That's the gospel, Alison, that's inclusive. And that's the one who's called us into his kingdom. Last point, if you're going to keep points, that the power of God, when it touches people, there's an exchange. When God's power touches people, there's an exchange in their life. Do you remember the scripture where it says the kindness of God leads to repentance? That scripture indicates to us that the God's kindness coming to people, there's an effect on them that leads to a change. See, we remember Jesus, he fed the poor. He fed the poor. Do you remember the miracle where he took the loaves and fish and he fed the poor? When we go out, one of the things we do in these mission trips is, depends which country we go to, we give out bags of rice. We walk into a home, but they've got nothing to eat. You give them a bag of rice. We took it to one house and we spilt it, and the kids were on their knees picking up every grain, putting it in the bag. That's how desperate they were. We go out there and we give them these little twinchy water-filled cartridges that go onto a bucket up there and a bucket down there. It takes the muddiest, dirtiest, germ-infested water, goes through the filter, out the bottom. You can drink it without any danger of disease. We distribute those to villages. We usually take them to a village complex. So you've got a family living just here, and you give it to the family, and they'll have enough water for about 30 to 50 people, and it'll last them 100,000 gallons, whatever that is in. He agrees with me. She agrees? He agrees? She agrees with me. About 100,000 gallons, whatever that is in litres, but years of fresh water they can get. We took these water filters into the jails where these guys were locked up in cells and they had fresh water to drink. See, that's part of the gospel. The gospel is this transformation that is not just, but it is also aiding by giving and by, you know, I've seen where people have actually, that instead of begging now, they're actually given a microeconomic business where they can actually get a sewing machine, they can sew stuff. There's a group in, where were they? They were in Mozambique and they were actually sewing stuff and they were selling these beautiful saris to American tourists for umpty dumpty dollars and making money to put back into the village. They were given a chance to get back on their feet. See, that is the gospel. The gospel comes to transform people's lives that are desperate to give them hope in their lives. That's what it is. But there is something about when the power of God comes that connects with a person that they can, they've got a choice. They either have to say it's God or it's not. There is a situation where God comes with his power that dramatically affects people. You take Nicodemus, the other Pharisees, religious to the core. In John chapter 2, here's Jesus healing people. John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and said, "We know you're of God. You're doing all these stuff." See, when the Spirit of God comes, he doesn't only come to restore and to give. One of the things as church we should be doing is giving food to the poor, giving assistance to people that need assistance. I'm not, understand that is part of the commission of Christ. But there is this sense, this sharp edge. The sharp edge when the power of God comes that people are confronted by the kingdom of God. When I was in the Philippines, there's so many houses, so many hospitals being built. I don't know if you guys saw them when you were there this time. They've been built by the Red Crescent Society. That's a Muslim outreach, a humanitarian outreach from the Muslim community. Believe it or not, Muslims have got a caring bone in their body to care for others. But there is something that you and I have that they don't. See, the world can run food programs better than you and I, but there's something you have, I have, they don't. And that is the power of the kingdom of God in you. And so when there's a confrontation of the presence of God, there's a decision to be made. Because when the power of God comes, there is a transformation. I was in a village in the Philippines the last time I was in the Philippines, last year, wasn't it, Leslie? Last year, I was in the Philippines. There was a woman, a young woman, she'd been mute from birth. They prayed for her, she started to speak out. And there was pandemonium in the village. This woman who had been mute suddenly starting to speak. What had happened? The power of God had come into the village and people are now confronted that this Jesus they talk about is real. Yes, they brought food. Yes, they brought water filters. But there's something about this dynamic Jesus that can do stuff that's impossible. Oh, shut up, Ray. He goes on and on, doesn't he? He goes on and on. I don't know. Turn over to Judges with me. You know, one of the things that I love, somebody once said I was a pig for the work of the Spirit. I assume that was a compliment. Can I ask you to turn over to Joshua? Judges. Let's go for Judges. We'll leave Joshua for another week. Judges chapter 2, starting at verse 6. Listen to this, listen up. After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went, that's why I said Joshua. After Joshua dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him. Notice this. Who had seen all the great things that the Lord had done. Did you hear that? Should I read it again just to be sure? After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites and went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance, the people, that's the community, that's the people of God, they served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things that God had done. Those who had witnessed the powerful workings of God remained faithful to him. Isn't that great? Hey, stir up the gifts. Stir up the outpouring of God's Spirit. Why? Because if you turn over to me a couple more verses, verse 10, same chapter 2, verse 10, after that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel, and the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baals. They had lost the vision of the greatness and the power of the King of Heaven, and they turned away. See, the power of God leaves an inheritance. The power of God leaves a commissioning in a people to know who they are following and how great he is. Let me tell you one last story before I wrap up. I finish at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock? Can't remember. Okay, well, another 5 minutes. Of this guy, he's a guy that I... we'll see you again in India. I don't know him very well, but I know him. He's the guy that leads this church of 500,000 people. His mother had a healing ministry. He was walking down the street and somebody called out to him and said, "Randy, come inside and pray for my father." He said, "I can't." I have to go home and get ready. I'm going to teach myself. I'm going to go away to Mumbai and I'm going to become a Bollywood actor. That's what he was going to do. He wanted to go into Bollywood. And this guy said, no, come and pray for my father. Your mother prays for people that get well. I want you to come and pray. True story. He went into the house. He said, in Jesus' name, be well. See you. And he was gone. He went home. He packed his bags. He went to bed. The next morning, he was going to catch the bus to Mumbai to go into school to become a Bollywood actor. Everybody knows Bollywood? You know Bollywood? You don't know that one? Maybe I need to translate it into English for you. He woke up the next morning. His mother said, Randy, there's people outside waiting for you. He said, what do you mean? What do you mean? She said, well, you prayed for somebody yesterday and they all got well. They're all waiting for you to pray. He said, but I can't. I'm going to Bollywood. No, you can't. You can't go. You have to pray for all these people out here. And he opened the door and there was this line of people going all the way down in the distance. Everybody had heard about him praying and somebody was made well. They hadn't seen the power of God in a person who was going to go to Bollywood. And as a result, he became a pastor and an apostle and started raising up churches. He got hung by his feet from a bridge because he preached Jesus. Somebody stabbed him. He was preaching in the street. He had a knife wound right through the stomach. I'm not a mighty man of mission. I'm just fortunate to be able to go. Because people had seen the power of God, there was a change. Let's finish. Oh, isn't that good? It says conclusion, so I must be going to finish. Can I say the kingdom of God is still expanding? In Australia, we look around and we see it's not growing very much. We're getting discouraged. Can I say, in the world, the kingdom of God is expanding. I said to this guy, Randeep, I said to him, what happened yesterday? He said, oh, yesterday we baptized 1,374 people. That's on a Sunday morning they baptized some people. In China, they say China's church growth is so great that by 2030 there'll be more Christians in China than the whole of America. They're saying in Indonesia the church growth is so great that the Christians are taking over many areas in that country. Is there persecution? You betcha. Is there problems? You betcha. In India, where we've gone there, we've seen whole villages giving themselves to Jesus. Here, if we see a conversion a year, we say, thank you, Jesus, we're successful. And some of these villages, you just see people coming into the kingdom and great. In Africa, whole communities are being transformed by the power of the King of Heaven. God is on the move. So when Jesus went to heaven, he was so gracious, he sent Spirit of God to be with us, to live in us, to reside with us, to lead the charge. The mission is his, it's not ours. We tend to think we're doing all the work. It's Holy Spirit is the one that's leading the church. In Antioch, the church in Antioch, the Spirit of God said to the church, send out Saul, send out Barnabas into the mission. And the church said, it seemed good to us, and the Holy Spirit will send them. See, the amazing thing is the Spirit of God is in you as a believer to see the kingdom of God expanded. Because he's the leader, we're the followers. Can I tell you a secret? The best leaders of churches are the ones who are being led. You want to find a good church where people are good leaders? Find some leaders who are good followers. Because it's only the Spirit of God that can take a church forward, or a community forward, or a nation forward. It has to be Him. Because it is, He is the ambassador of the kingdom on earth. He glorifies the Son and the Father in the church. He is the one that brings remarkable, outstanding gifts into the church. Men, equipped with imagination for things to grow into our community. There's this guy in Sydney. He went to Africa. He thought, ha-ha, I've got no lights. What can I do? Solar panels. Sets up solar panels in villages so people have got simple for us. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing to be able to do. What do we do with that, Keith? How do we respond? My response is simply this. Paul said to be keep being filled by the Spirit. Ephesians says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled and continually filled with the Spirit. Why is that? Because He is the ambassador. He's the leader. He's the one that takes you forward. There's a tendency in some of our churches to be embarrassed about the Spirit of God and about His presence in a meeting. Don't be embarrassed. Because when the Spirit of God comes, He changes, He transforms, He overwhelms. Because He is doing a good thing. Follow Him. Develop that prophetic voice. Develop that prophetic ear to hear the Spirit of God whispering in your voice, in your spirit. To hear Him. So I know you guys have got the you've got the Philippines on your heart. I know that. You've got a desire in your heart. You told me yesterday, this is not prophetic knowledge, it's just what you told me. To go into the kingdom work in the Philippines. I know that. Every time you go there, you fall more and more in love with the King and with the people. Can I just say, pursue that dream. Don't let anything stop it. Allow the Spirit of God to direct you in that. Stand up for a minute. Can I pray for you in that? Because that was really on your heart yesterday about the Philippines, wasn't it? It really was. Can you come out? Is it okay if I pray for you out here? I know. As men, we shared a bit. It's a bit hard for us to come out of the front and to get prayer for. Out the front, it's not all that easy. So is it easy for you or not? It's all right, is it? Yeah. Leslie, can you come? I just was really impacted by this. Is there anybody else with a heart for that mission outreach, the mission work, the working in, not just in Australia, but also over in different areas? Anybody else with that same heart? Somebody, God's just put in your heart to reach out into other countries. Who else is there? I know there's some other people here. I know there's a couple of others here who've got that on their heart. Who else is there? You're welcome to come. I know you're being shy, because I know there are some. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for this. I thank you for the... Yeah, just you have written. You have written into his heart just the call of the gospel, the call of the King. Father, I know there's not any family connections in the Philippines for him to be connected to that, but I do know this. When you put a calling on people's lives, it's not just natural, it's a spiritual connection. Come on, as you pray. Thank you, Father. Come on, you pray. Come on, come with that. No idea. It's one of those. The red button. It's always the red button.
Hmm. Yeah, Father, thank you for Brett. Thank you for the power of God in him, Lord. Thank you for the power of your Spirit in him, Lord. Thank you for the heart you've given him for the Philippines. Father, we thank you your timing will be right. We thank you that you'll open doors for him. You'll give him favour. You'll open doors that no man can shut for him. Ho! Ho! Ooh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we ask that you would prepare the exact place that you would have he and Rosie to go. And Lord, that you would start working on hearts, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, Father, we just thank you for a heart that desires to get into the harvest. We thank you for evangelism on him, Father. In the interim time, Father, we ask that you would increase that, increase evangelism in him, Father, increase the power of the word in him, Lord, that he'll have sharp words, words that would pierce to the bone and the marrow of the bone, Father, that will reveal hearts, Father, that will turn them to Jesus.
Yes.
And, Father, we ask that you would put gifts within this man, Lord. Gifts where people will see the power of God, Father.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. And, Father, just take him into your rest. Lord, take him into a place of rest where he doesn't strive for any of this, but he rests totally in you. Just totally in you. And just fill him and fill him and fill him, Father, and fill him again and fill him again. And, Father, I ask that you put protection around he and Rosie and their family, Lord God. Send angels to be with them. Lord, let them hear music in the night from the angels.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
You pray for the men. You pray for all the men.
Thanks. Father, we just stand together this morning, Lord. I just pray for the men of this place, Lord. Father, thank you so much that you've brought so many men into this family, Lord God. And we declare that they are your sons, strong sons. And Father, wherever their occupation is, Lord, Father, I ask that you would give them new, innovative and creative ideas that would cause people to say, how did you know that? And they'll be able to say, my Jesus showed me how to do that. Father, simple things that are profound. Yeah.
Thank you,
Father. Thank you, Lord. And, Father, I just ask that you would put a deeper hunger in men's hearts for you, Lord, and a deeper, deeper knowledge of how much they're loved and that you are such a strong foundation in their lives and that they are strong, Lord. And, Father, where there have been ashes in their lives, Father, I just ask, Lord, that they will fall away, even today, Lord, even today, let them fall away, Lord, and let beauty come. And strength come and righteousness come and power in your holy name come for them, Lord God. And Father, they'll be the best dads and the best grandfathers and the best sons and the best husbands, Lord. And people will know there's something different because of the love of God shining in these men. And Father, I thank you that they're not afraid. They're not afraid to be men of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Make them strong and stronger, Father, for your glory and for your kingdom, in Jesus' name.
And, Father, we just pray for the women in this church. We just ask for them in the name of Jesus. Father, I just speak into every woman's heart in this place, and we just proclaim the beauty of the King of Heaven over you, your significance in the kingdom. We speak restoration and hope in the life of every woman in this building. That, Father, I thank you that there's many daughters of destiny in this place, that you put on them hearts for the King and for his kingdom. And so, Lord, as best as we can, as we stand here as a husband and wife, we just ask in the name of Jesus for every woman in this building, they would know the calling of God clearly. Father, they would know the passion of God clearly in their life. They would know the presence of the King in all that they do. And so we honour them. Father, as a man in this place, I honour every woman in this building. I lift them up before you and honour them from the youngest to the oldest. And they would know your blessing in their life, in all they do, in their work, in their homes. They would know the presence of the King of Heaven surrounding them in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And bless Leslie, she's so nice.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.